If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In some of the houses, there were still people in it when they burned it. And if there was someone there, the body also get cremated. So only few remains are staying. And this is why they brought us there, you know, because we know how to deal with this stuff.
Hey listeners, it's Mishi. So as you know, during these incredibly difficult days, we're trying to bring you voices we're hearing among and around us. These aren't stories, they're just quick conversations, or postcards really, that try to capture slivers of life right now. 53-year-old Chai Ashkenazi from Tel Aviv is an archaeologist, but probably never imagined he'd find himself excavating a 21st century kibbutz. Yet in the insane reality that has become our life since October 7th, archaeologists, too, are part of the war effort. Our producers Alexandra Muller and Zev Levi sat down with Chai and heard how the term destruction layer has accrued a contemporary and chilling meaning. Before we begin, a quick warning. While most of our wartime diaries contain references that might not be suitable for all listeners, this one deals directly with death. So please take that into account. Okay, here's Chai.
So my name is Chai Ashkenazi. I have a PhD in archaeology. I dealt with the Bronze Age, especially the early Bronze Age, like around 3000 BCE. Now I in the last almost 2 years, I work in the Israeli Antiquities Authority. I'm the geoinformatics manager, which deals with the documentation of the data and the archaeology sites and the finds we find in it. So on October 7th, I woke up at 6:30 from the siren. In Tel Aviv, you have a minute and a half to get to the shelter. We live in an old building, which has a very old shelter from the 60s in the basement of the building. It has windows, which is a bit strange for a shelter. But somehow we managed to get there in a minute and a half, and until we could hear the Iron Dome going off. And we just sat there, and there were a few sirens, and then we went up. And then you read in the news and you see something is happening around Gaza. And I told my partner that never happened. This is something different. And then you hear more and more. And every hour there are more victims and more people killed. And you understand that there's not a lot of army there. And people are getting killed. And so it was like a crazy day. Like a storm of death and sorrow. Actually, the first thing I wanted to do is to take the car and to help evacuate people. And my partner was so terrified, so I didn't do it. So she's German. And now like she was so terrified, so that there was like evacuation flights to Germany. So we managed to find a spot on one of the flights, which was not easy. And she's there, and I'm so much calmer than she's not here, because she was afraid to walk in the street. She wanted me to come with her, and I told her, I know it's not logical, but I can't. I just can't. I didn't know how can I help, but I have to stay here. I don't know if I can explain that. I think in the beginning, what I felt is like anger and helplessness. And since then, I think my anger changed into sorrow. Like I'm so sad. Like it's the saddest month of my life. I was in tanks when I was in the army, so I wanted to do something on the front. And then what happened is there was an officer in the army who was responsible to find missing people. Nobody knows exactly what the number. It might even be that some of the people who said that were kidnapped maybe are missing. So there's a unit in the army that is responsible for that, and they don't have the abilities to find people that are in the burnt houses, because they either are looking for bodies and you need someone else that knows how to deal with destruction layers. And archaeologists actually love destruction layers because it's like a freeze in time of one period, and you find a lot of stuff in it. And then they gathered a team and they asked me. I was pretty shocked from the idea. And I said, give me a day to think about it. And after that, I said, yes, I'm in. So my first day was like you drive in a convoy with the army to the kibbutz. We went to Nir Oz. This is the kibbutz that was raided, and the army didn't get to it. Like about a quarter of the population was either murdered or kidnapped. And actually, when you get to there, it looks a bit kind of pastoral. So the birds are singing and the grass is still green. Only when you look a bit better, you can see something is wrong. You hear explosion in the background, either from our artillery or from the Hamas missiles. And if in Tel Aviv you have a minute and a half to run to shelter, there you have 15 seconds. So the only thing you can do is just lie on the ground and hope it doesn't hit you. The hardest thing for me in the beginning was the smell. Because it smells of burning wood, but also burning plastics. So the kibbutz is totally deserted, and all the houses are open, and I just went into houses. And as an archaeologist, you usually are trained to look at material culture and understand what happened there. So you go to a house, and you see bullet holes next to the lock. And then you go inside and you see bullet holes on the door of the shelter. When the door is open and you go inside and you see a pool of blood. And just every house you go there, something happened in it. Every house. Usually what we go to houses that we know someone is missing from this house. And we just dig very slowly. We sift through the ashes. Like we have sifters and we sift through the ashes and we try to find remains of the people there. And until now, they found about 10 missing people. And
the bodies?
Well, you can't even say bodies because it's really like remains of bones. Sometimes it's just teeth. Sometimes it's other jewelry and stuff like that you know they wore before the attack. Generally, in archaeological excavation, we're really happy to find bones because usually you find the person and you find the jewelry on the person and you find what the person held before dying. But I really think that what we're doing now, it's more police work and less archaeology. So this is how it looks like. So the walls are black and everything is black and gray and you just sift through the ashes.
Did you take these pictures as a part of your work?
No, for myself. I'm like a amateur photographer. So every house, this is a private house, every house you spray on it that we've been here and we checked it.
This is the Israeli army spray painting on the side of an Israeli house.
Yeah, yeah. We've been here, we checked there are no bombs in it, and then we checked here, it's the Antiquities Authority. We've been here, we checked there's no missing people here.
I see the dates as well.
Yeah, and also the dates. And in the beginning, when I needed to spray it, I couldn't. Someone's house, I don't want to spray on the house. And then you understand nobody's going to live there anymore. In one of the houses, that later we understood that the mother was murdered, two kids probably kidnapped, and the father is missing. Is what we're looking. So we just found in one of the rooms, we found like a lot of pottery that the kids probably made in kindergarten. So we just kept all of them for if someone will come back from the family, at least they have some souvenir. And so strange, because usually when I dig, I find things which are kind of strange to me and foreign to me. And this is things I can find in my house as well. I really think it's what I saw, it's worse than what I read in the news. Yeah. Even in the small things. So in one of the houses, it was like kind of a corridor between them, and there was a small sofa. And on the small sofa, everything was black, and it was hard to understand what it is. There was like a pile of things on the sofa, and then I understood it's like a very neatly folded clothing. So you can really see the clothing was there, and it's all black of soot and ashes, and it was just there. I think in the second day, what I understood is that I don't want to know details. I just need to go there, do my technical job, and that's it. Because in one of the houses we've been, someone started to explain what happened to the family and who we are looking for. And at one point I said, no, I don't want to know. You have to be like professional. It's like, I guess, like doctors that go to operate someone, they prefer not to know who they're operating. I'm not a pacifist, but I'm not pro-war. And I think really Israel has no other option but to hit back. And I know that hitting back is we kill a lot of civilians. And it's also in my name. And it's really hard for me. And I'm really sad about it. But I don't think there's another way right now. And it's really sad to say that. And I hope after the war, we can do something to prevent the next ones, which is not connected to violence. I think everyone has to choose to be optimistic, because we don't have room for pessimism. So we have to be optimistic and hope that all this bloodshed eventually will bring something better.
Chai, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. You're welcome.
הזמן מסמן לי זה הכל שריות של החיים ולחיות את הרגע להתחיל לסוף את השברים אולי יצא יותר אתחיל קצת למים להתחיל להסתדר ולעשות קצת רעש אולי מקום אחר, מקום יותר בוער להתחיל קצת לקלקל ולתקן עוד פעם מה הזמן מסמן זה הכל שריות של החיים ולחיות את הרגע להתחיל לסוף את השברים אולי יצא יותר אתחיל קצת למים להתחיל להסתדר ולעשות קצת רעים מקום אחר, מקום יותר בוער להתחיל קצת לקלקל ולתקן עוד פעם יצא יותר, תחיל קצת למעלה
להתחיל להסתדר ולעשות קצת רעש, אולי מקום אחר, מקום יותר בום, להתחיל קצת לקלקל ולתקן עוד
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.